All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, very excited to be talking to an individual readying to box in Qatar on June the 8th, and the historic super middle IBA intercontinental belt going to be up for grabs. Very excited to be talking to one of the individuals in this fight. Very excited to have Brian Rose on the show. How are you doing, man? It would seem like a good time and everything. Seems like a big opportunity here.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity, and I'm just very grateful that Old Sama and SDK and QSM Promotions have given me this opportunity. You know, I feel blessed to be given this opportunity, and I'm going to grab that title with both hands. And also a massive thank you to Rampage Jackson for introducing me to the to Old Sama, SDK. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I was curious about that because I'd noticed that shout out to Rampage within the post. Has like Rampage been a guy you've been, you know, friendly with over the years, and he just figured this would be a good opportunity and put it on your radar, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, my trainer, Bobby Rimmer, he's a great coach. Otherwise, he wouldn't be training Rampage Jackson or myself. So my trainer, Bobby Rimmer, we did a camp over in... Rampage Jackson. Rampage let me stay at his house. He let me live there rent free, but a lot of the time, you know, I didn't have to spend a penny while I was there. So over the years, Rampage Jackson has helped me out like you wouldn't believe. You know, he really looked after me, and I'll never forget that. And he's still looking after me by introducing me to these guys and getting me on the bill on his undercard. So I'm very grateful for that opportunity, and like I say, I've known Rampage about 5 or 6 years now, maybe longer. So that's why he looked after me and got me on the undercard.
Well, I love hearing that, man. That's so important to have those kind of connections, and that kind of support is invaluable for sure. I guess one of the things that I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on too, because in some of the announcements relating to this fight, I'm not seeing, you know, specifics on an opponent. Who are you going to be vying for this IBA Intercontinental title against? Like, who's involved in this super middleweight title fight against you?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Oh, I was just not noticing information on your opponent in this upcoming fight. Like, who are you facing for this IBA belt?
I'm still unsure, to be honest. I think they have got an opponent, but I'm not sure if I can say the name. I'm not sure if I'm in a position to announce that. So I will leave that up to QSM Promotions.
No, fair play, man. I mean, just exciting time. I mean, I saw you were talking about nearly 20 years as a pro boxer, and you're still fighting for titles. You've got quite the history of fighting for belts. So yeah, definitely an exciting next chapter in this story, I would think.
Yeah, I was born to fight. I absolutely love fighting. And, you know, people might look at me and think, you know, he's old now. He retired and now he's coming back. You know, what's he doing? But, I was training anyway. I was training, you know, I wasn't training to fight, but I was training. I'm always in the gym, and I was getting that hunger back. So when I got given the opportunity, I just thought, you know, what an amazing opportunity. And then at first I thought it was just boxers versus MMA, and I thought, yeah, I'll have that, you know. I always thought I could beat any MMA fighter in the world with my boxing skills. But then I got the opportunity to fight for a title. So I think I am fighting a professional boxer. So, you know, whoever's put in front of me, I will train my hardest, and I'm pretty sure whoever's put in front of me, I will knock out.
Yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned like the commentary about how maybe some people might be saying like, "Oh, why is he coming back from retirement?" Which I guess to a degree I understand, but in a certain sense I don't. I mean, this is something you clearly are very skilled at and have loved doing for a while. And if you get a huge opportunity, I mean, why would you, you know, deny it with all those factors considered? I mean, that's, I guess, just my thought on it.
Of course, it's the only thing I know. The only thing I know is fighting. Yeah, well, I've got a boxing gym and I've got other things going on for me. But, you know, deep down, the only thing I know is fighting, and I love it, you know. So I do it for the love of it, which sounds a bit crazy, but Yeah, like I say, the opportunity can't be passed. You know, I think any fighter in the world would take this opportunity that I'm having. You know, if it wasn't for this opportunity, I wouldn't be fighting again. So that's why I'm so appreciative of QSM Promotions, Osama, and...
No, yeah, no, sorry. It was just a bit of a delay. I didn't want to interrupt you there, but no, great that this opportunity came your way. And I mean, even based on what I'm getting from some of the conversations I've had already with like Rampage, Shannon, as well as, you know, the promoters you mentioned, STK and Hosama, I mean, it does seem like they're really, I guess, looking at this in like a long-term kind of way, like multiple events this year in their mind, even as they, you know, go in Qatar. And just seems like they're looking to really put on for, I guess, even a few different sports out there. So I imagine that's exciting for, you know, somebody like you, and also provides a lot of great opportunities for other fighters potentially also.
Of course, yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting them face to face. They seem like really good guys, and again, thankful for the opportunity, but I'm looking to put on a real good show, and hopefully there'll be future fights on QSM Promotions when I do the job on the night, and I'm going to do it in spectacular fashion.
Yeah, and what does that represent to you? Like, I mean, do you have, like, a particular, I guess, idea of what that represents? Like, getting a spectacular outcome? Like, is that representative of, like, a certain round you're looking to get it done in? Or, I guess, a particular unfolding of events, I suppose?
Well, it'll be a masterclass. You know, I am technically very, very good. I had over 90 amateur fights. I boxed for England, I boxed all over the world, you know, as an amateur, and then turned pro at 20, so I am well schooled. So they expect to see an absolute masterclass on the night. If the knockout comes, great, which I think it will. If it doesn't, then I can promise a proper show, you know, a proper boxing lesson.
Well, that's a great mindset, because I think like the de facto kind of answer a lot of people try to, you know, gravitate towards is like obviously wanting to get the knockout, but it's smart to like, I guess, have that ability to put on an exciting fight while also not overextending yourself and being defensively irresponsible. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and it must be cool to represent Blackpool. I know you've represented them over the years, and like you said, internationally and a lot of different regards, but it must be kind of cool to be representing Blackpool in, you know, Qatar as part of like such a big event here and all that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, stuff like this doesn't happen for people from Blackpool, if I'm honest. You know, there's pro fighters from here. I live in a very small town. It's a seaside resort, so you know, it's very deprived. But you know, I love where I'm from. I love the town I'm from. So for me, I've already put Blackpool on the map when it comes to boxing. I've achieved the most that anyone will ever achieve from this town, but I'm still doing it at 39. You know, I thought it was over, and it's not. You know, I'm still looking at winning titles, and still looking at achieving. And I just think, you know, I'm proud of myself, because, like I say, this will be my 42nd pro fight and 20 years as a professional boxer. So I think that itself is an amazing achievement.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've competed against some of the, you know, very best in the world. Like, I mean, just anyone that would go through your, you know, box rec or whatever aggregator that information of yours is on. I think a lot of people will notice quite a few names coming off of that list. So, yeah, I mean, quite a few things to be proud of, it would seem like there.
Yeah, of course, and like I say, I'm still looking at winning titles. I'm still ambitious. I'm still hungry. Yeah, I just can't wait to get in there and put on a show.
No doubt, man, and I'm sure it'll be an exemplary fight. But I guess one thing I kind of wanted to get some insights on, because I saw, I mean, this article was, I guess, like a couple years ago at this point, but talking about how there were certain issues your gym was kind of facing, certain like outside activity that was beyond your control. Have you like since relocated the gym and everything like that, or is there any kind of update you can provide on that there, I suppose?
Yeah, like I said before, my town is full of you know, it's turned into a town that's dangerous to live in. You know, there's kids running around with knives, there's people using drugs, a lot of drug dealers, you know. So I set up my gym mainly to help the community, and for 7 or 8 years I've been taking kids off the streets that are hanging about on street corners, hanging about on parks, and I've put them in a safer, healthier environment, and that's what I look to keep on doing. But yeah, I have relocated. I work with Blackpool Council now. That's where my gym's at. I don't work with them, but my gym is at Blackpool Council. And the gym's running a lot smoother now because the parents are more confident of dropping the kids off and them being in a safer place. You know, where I was quite a rough area, and it did have its problems. It did have its problems, but now it's been resolved, and I'm at a great place.
Well, I love hearing that, man, because that's something I love so much about combat sports stories, especially if someone's in a set of unfortunate circumstance beyond their control. It just really, like, teaches a certain level of discipline and effort to, you know, give them the tools to get out of it, even if their goal isn't necessarily to become, you know, a champion caliber boxer as you did. Just seems like it gives people the tools to really, like, pull themselves up out of bad circumstances. So love to hear that things have settled in nicely with that there, man.
Yeah, and I'm doing that every day. There's about 50 kids that come to my gym every night. I work with the NHS, working with people with mental health. So, yeah, like I say, there was a time in my life I needed a bit of help when I was a kid, and someone reached out to me and helped me. So, you know, for me, owning my gym isn't about making money. It's about helping the community and giving something back. You know, I can make money fighting. I can make money doing other things. I don't need to make money on kids that are coming into my gym, and that's what I look to keep on doing. I'm ambitious about it.
Yeah, and it seems like you're really just paying it forward in a lot of regards. So I love that too, man. I mean, that's just the cool thing about, like, you know, combat sports, martial arts in general, however you want to phrase it, just, like, realizing what the sport provided you in a certain sense and just wanting to impart that to the next crop of people. So that's great. I mean, that must help, like, you know, the competitive flame too in a certain sense, and, like, just why it's, like, such a consistent lifestyle thing for you, boxing.
Of course, I think any fighter you ever meet, whether it be boxing, MMA, they're not like football players or maybe American football players. You know, I don't know what it's like in America, but football players can be quite arrogant sometimes, whereas boxers and people from a fighting background, you know, they've usually had it a bit rough, and they've usually had it quite hard. So that's why when you meet a fighter, they're quite grounded and level-headed, and, you know, you don't meet many arrogant fighters, and that's why a lot give back to the community and try and help the best they can, because there'll have been a time in their life where someone's helped them. And that's why I think out of all the sports, like you say, combat sports, you meet the best people.
Absolutely. And tying that back into the Rampage connection a little bit, I'm curious to get some of your thoughts on this main event fight, because, I mean, Rampage Jackson making his pro boxing debut, and definitely, you know, not going into the shallow end of the pool here, fighting a former lineal and, you know, WBO heavyweight champion in Shannon Briggs. Like, not asking you necessarily in a way to, like, offer up a prediction per se, but I guess just what are your thoughts on the headliner fight coming up in Qatar here?
I think it's amazing. I think it's going to be an amazing event. Two absolute greats that were both at the top of the sport, both the best at their sport. And I think it'll be an interesting fight, an amazing fight. But when you ask me the question, I know you don't want to ask me the question, but I would always stick with boxers beating MMA fighters. But on this occasion, I have to go with Rampage because he's my friend. He'll always be loyal to me, and he's helped me out getting on the bill. So yeah, Rampage is my boy. So Rampage by knockout, I hope. But I like them both. I like them both, but Rampage is my boy.
yeah, it just seems like such an intriguing fight in a few different regards, and it seems like the build-up has a lot of potential to be fun. It seems like they've got these fun personalities that play off each other while definitely entertaining individuals, for sure.
Yeah, I've been around them both, and it's they make me laugh from 8 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. They're absolutely hilarious, just constantly taking the piss out of each other. And, it's great to be around.
Yeah, no, it comes across for sure, man. I guess, like, a question that I had that I was kind of interested in asking, like, obviously you have a big fight coming up here, and it seems like you have a certain idea of what you want to do, even going beyond that in a way that doesn't overlook the opponent, obviously, but just kind of curious, I guess, what might represent, like, a, you know, watermark moment, or I guess, like a premier moment in your career up until this point, because you've got to, you know, do so much, obviously, like, at one point being the outright owner of a Lonsdale belt and, like, the first British champion from Blackpool since Brian London. I mean, definitely some cool things that have transpired. Like, is there anything that represents, like a top accomplishment, I suppose, that comes to your mind as I'm talking about stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, any boxer from Great Britain, you know, from a little boy from starting boxing, want to win a British title. The thing with the British title is you have to win it and defend it 3 times to keep hold of it. So it's the only belt in the world you have to defend to keep. That's including the world title. So it's prestigious, and it means a lot to someone from Britain to win that title. So that was a massive achievement for me. And then I just went from strength to strength. You know, I defended that, and then I won a WBO Intercontinental Champion. Then I beat a couple of ex-world champions in Vivian Harris and Joaquin Maltin, and then I fought Maciel for the final eliminator for the world title. So, and then I fought Dimitri Andrade, which was, you know, a bad night for me. I got beat by a better man, but what an amazing year. I was number 2 in the world fighting for a world title. For me, a kid from Blackpool, it was just an amazing achievement. But this will be a huge night for me because, like I say, no one from Blackpool's ever done anything like this. And, you know, I think it's the first boxing fight in Qatar, isn't it? So for me to be a part of that, and for them to be giving me this opportunity, you know, I feel like I've won the lottery. And it's not because I'm getting paid fortunes, it's just for the opportunity. I can't wait to showcase my skills on a QSM promotion. And to be fighting on the undercard of Rampage Jackson and Shannon Briggs is an absolute honour, because they were 2 all-time greats. So I'm really looking forward to getting fitter, getting fight ready, and like I say, showcasing my skills.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, I mean, how much of that is a driver as well? Like, obviously, like, the fights and some of these opportunities, but it would seem like, you know, still competing in boxing is a tremendous lifestyle sort of thing too. I mean, just the caliber of shape one would have to be in to compete at this level, I imagine, is quite beneficial, just even in, like, a day-to-day lifestyle kind of sense, and maybe even for the mental health. Like, I feel like a lot of fighters are talking more about the mental health benefits of training in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's something I've struggled with myself, mental health, and, you know, I feel alive again. I feel like in such a better place because I'm back training. I leave for America. I'm doing camp with Rampage Jackson, so I go there in a month on the 1st of April. So that's when my real training will start. You know, I'm training here at my gym, but I'm going to make those sacrifices and move away from my family for 10 weeks. And it's going to be tough because I'm at an age now where I should just be at home with my children and, you know, spending time with them. But like I say, I can't let this opportunity pass. So, but at the same time, I need to make those sacrifices again, get in the best condition I can be in. And, you know, I'll be working with Rampage Jackson's team, including my coach, Bobby Rimmer. Bobby Rimmer's a great coach, and without him, I wouldn't be in this position. So I'll be working with Sean Rez and Rampage Jackson. So I'm looking forward to getting over to the States and start training and getting into the best possible shape I can be in.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you with, like, the family situation, man. I guess that was something I was kind of going to ask you about a bit, because I was seeing some articles saying you have a few children, even. Like, are they all kind of at an age now where they, you know, understand what dad does and everything like that? Like, is it like a my dad can beat up your dad kind of thing, or what's going on with that?
Say that again, sorry. He broke up.
Oh, sorry, I'm just wondering, like, if they're at, like, an age where maybe they kind of, like, comprehensively understand what, you know, you get up to for work and stuff like that, or I guess just their thoughts on what you've done as a boxer, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, my kids understand him. To be honest, I've kept him away from boxing because, it's a tough sport, and I would never kill any kid's dreams, but at the same time, it's hard to make money from boxing. So if they don't want to do it, I'm absolutely fine with it. If they want to do it, I'll encourage it and I'll take them to the gym. But they understand that they're older now. So, I mean, it all started. Oscar was born first, my eldest, and he was motivation. You know, he was motivation, and I thought, I need to make some money. I need to achieve from a little boy. And then Penelope was born, and you know, it became difficult. Then I was thinking, I'm away from my little girl. And I trained in Manchester Monday to Friday. I basically lived away from my family while I was in camp anyway. So I made those sacrifices. I've made these sacrifices all my life, so it's something I'm used to. You know, I will miss them. And I had my little boy Fraser, so he's only four, so I will miss him because he doesn't understand as much what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, whereas the older ones, they understand, you know. They'll get the PlayStations and the everything they need, when I get paid. But Fraser doesn't understand as much, and that's what upsets me a little bit. But like I say, I'm a fighter. I was born to be a fighter, and you know, I can't let those things stand in my way and upset me. So I'll be making those sacrifices, and I'll be training like this is the world title again.
And I guess that brings up a question of, like, what drew you to boxing initially? Because I was seeing in some of the articles you got right into it as a younger kind of lad. Like, what initially drew you to the sport?
I was just a bit mischievous as a kid. I started boxing when I was 9, so I was a little bit mischievous, getting up to no good. So my dad took me to the boxing gym, and I was a little bit of a natural, so he took me back, and then I was told I was quite good. Getting pats on the back, people telling me I was good, so I kept at it. And then I actually lost my first amateur fight, and then I lost my third one. So my dad was like, "Are you really sure you want to do this, son?" I was like, "Yeah, I really want to do it. I want to carry on." And then I carried on, and then I went on to achieve what I achieved. So, I just, like I say, I was a bit mischievous, and it kept me on the right path. You know, God knows where I would have been without boxing. You know, I could have been up to all sorts of stuff if I'd not started boxing. So I am grateful that I am still in this position.
Yeah, no, it's been quite a journey from that point to, you know, where you're at now and stuff like that. And I know, like, with fighters, it's not always like they're even afforded the opportunity to kind of, you know, look back on certain things and whatnot. It's kind of always about that next thing and that being the paramount focus. But do you ever get into a point where there's any, like, I guess, anniversaries of meaningful fights or moments that pop up where, like, even in a brief kind of cursory way, you can be like, oh yeah, that's really cool, like, I've gotten to, I guess, partake in some interesting things over the years?
I think only recently, as I've got older, I've realized what I achieved. And you know, I do look back sometimes and I think, fuck, I can't believe I did that. And I know moments in fights as well. Like, I've had fights where I've been pissing blood afterwards because it's been that tough, and I've won the fight. And I think, you know, I've done the drug test afterwards, and then I'm pissing blood, and I think I can't believe I should put my body through that. But there was a time where I would have died in that ring. You know, I literally would have died doing something I loved. Which sounds mad, but it's just what I was born to do. So, I do look back on certain fights and think, you know, that was a great fight. And, you know, I can't believe I achieved it, you know, because I'm just a kid from Blackpool that you know, wasn't even supposed to win a British title, let alone fight for a world title. So, yeah, I think I've done pretty good.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely an understatement, man. A great body of work and a very exciting fight coming up here. One that I'm definitely stoked for. And just, yeah, Brian, really appreciate you making some time to come on the show and, you know, talk a bit about this looming title fight June 8th in Qatar. But figured I'd kind of, you know, put the ball in your court if maybe there was any kind of final parting thought you wanted to add as we're kind of wrapping up here.
Hello?
Oh, sorry, I was just... Yeah, no.
Sorry, broke up that again, sorry.
No, you're all good, Brian. I was just wondering if maybe you had a final parting thought you wanted to add as we're kind of wrapping up.
Oh, well, basically, like I said at the start of the interview, I'm blessed to have this opportunity. I just want to thank Osama, SDK, and Rampage Jackson for introducing me to the guys, because, you know, without them, I wouldn't be in this position. So I really appreciate it, and I'm going to train my absolute heart off to be in the best physical condition so I can put on a show for the people in Qatar.
Yeah, it's going to be a very intriguing IBA Intercontinental Super Middleweight title fight, and definitely a great fight that bolsters an awesome-looking event that seems to keep growing June 8th in Qatar. And again, to reiterate, Brian, thanks so much for the time and the great insights. Man, I'm looking forward to checking out this fight when it goes down. But until then, you have a good rest of your day, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.